Hello, everybody. This is our first Sunday of summer worship. We're in the Fellowship Hall throughout the summer. We also refer to this day as Murphy Sunday. Murphy as in Murphy's Law. And as it turned out, Murphy's a Presbyterian. We're also so delighted to have the Youth Caravan back and to be inspired by their account. It's very moving to see that report and the work they did and this extension of God's love to our greater world. Our scripture speaks to a theme. There are a number of themes in scripture tied to particular images or objects. And one such image is that of Christ and the branch, and we are connected to Christ. Elsewhere, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And so we are each one connected to the greater, to Christ. And this image of Christ and the branch, we're going to focus on for a while this summer. The branch that is raised up and tied to that is our willingness to bear fruit for him. A lot of agricultural terms going to be thrown out during this. Each message features a key related verse, and then we see how that applies to us as plantings of the Lord to bear fruit in service. And as Nathan mentioned, from 1 Peter we have this verse, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. And then earlier from two other passages we heard this idea of cursing. So some of you might be wondering, well, okay, is this going to be a lesson on cursing? I know some of you try to make a New Year's resolution every year that you're going to cut down on cursing, and so you have a quarter jar or a dollar jar, some even have a $5 jar. Every time you slip, you put in money in the jar, and then hopefully that discourages you. But that's not what we're talking about, okay? We're going to talk about a different kind of curse. And speaking of Murphy, I think I'm breaking up, aren't I? I'm okay, or the mic's okay? Both. That's scary. So we're talking about a different kind of curse, a very serious matter, a type of condemnation. And this one is pronounced by God against anyone put to death by being hanged on a tree. Some people ask, well, what's the difference between hung and hanged? Any English teachers here? Hung and hanged? What's the difference? All right, a framed picture can be hung. A person condemned is hanged. See the difference? Now, according to the law in Deuteronomy, anyone hanged on a tree is under God's curse. The one hanged on a tree was to be cut down that same day. Otherwise, the land, the promised land, would be ritually defiled. And then, according to the law in Deuteronomy, anyone who did not conform to the words of the law by keeping them is also cursed. These harsh and terrible condemnations pointed ahead down through the ages to an even more harsh, more terrible day, a day when an innocent man would bear this curse. So centuries later, on a hill outside of Jerusalem, the promise of the righteous branch of the line of David, and this idea of the one hanged on a tree being cursed came together on the tree of the cross. Jesus, the Messiah, the righteous branch of David's royal house, was lifted up from the earth and hanged on a tree. Now, I think most of you know that the cross is not literally a tree, okay? But it did get that nickname because it's an object made out of wood and it stood upright. So its nickname was the tree. Also, the term hanged is not used in the modern Western sense. We're not talking about a rope around the neck, although that is one form of capital punishment. Rather, here the term is simply used for capital punishment in general. But crucifixion involved affixing the victim to the branches, if you will, of this so-called tree. Jesus, the Messiah, the righteous branch of the royal house of David, was lifted up from the earth and hanged on a tree, taking the curse onto himself. The world, long ago, lost in the darkness of sin through the forbidden fruit of one tree, was plunged into darkness again that day when he was hanged on a tree. There are two facts you need to have firmly in your mind. Jesus was innocent, and the curse was ours. Jesus was innocent. Ours was the curse. The book of Deuteronomy states, "Cursed be anyone who does not uphold the words of this law by observing them." And then in the New Testament, we have the Apostle Paul saying, "Cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the things written in the book of the law." So condemnation rests upon anyone who does not keep all of the law, all the things written in God's law. It's not enough just to try hard. That's not what it's talking about. It's not enough to say, well, compared to fill in the blank, who's a much worse sinner than I am, I'm looking pretty good. Okay, that doesn't work. Nor does it work to make excuses. I mean, you've probably all heard something like this. Well, at least I'm not an axe murderer. As if someone saying that is now declaring that they're a good and wonderful person? Or maybe not that dramatic. Some people say, well, I don't steal things. Well, okay, at work I might take a few things home, but that's just at work. Everybody does it. Oh, well, and sometimes when we stay at a hotel, we might borrow a few things. But that's just it. I don't steal things. That doesn't cut it either. And it doesn't work to succeed 80% of the time or 90% of the time. In fact, most of us don't even come anywhere near that. And even if we could do, say, 90% of the time, which we can't. Even if we could keep God's law 90% of the time, that's not the point. Sin is not referring to the things we do or don't do. That's the symptoms. Sin itself is a condition. It's a status. It's our status before God. We are estranged from God. We are at enmity with God. That's the state of sin, which makes us sinners. We inherited this stain of sin from our biblical parents. We justly and rightly stand condemned under this curse. Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. The curse applies to you and to me. Here's the bad news. There is nothing you can do to remove the curse. There's nothing we can do to remove the curse. Here's the good news. God has done it for us. Through his righteous branch, Jesus, the Messiah. The curse of God against human treason, against human rebellion and disobedience, is lifted from us because Jesus Christ, the righteous branch, took the curse onto himself. The innocent Son of God carried our sins in his body on the tree. Paul writes, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" Recall that Jesus said from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The condemnation of God fell on Jesus, so that by God's grace, through faith in Jesus, it will not fall on us. According to the law, the one who was put to death by being hanged on a tree was to be removed on the same day, lest the land become ritually defiled. So Jesus died on Friday. And that particular Friday was right before a solemn Sabbath, the Passover Sabbath. The Passover, the annual festival that commemorated when God led the Israelites to freedom out of bondage in Egypt. So this was a solemn Sabbath approaching. To fulfill the law, and in view of this coming holy day, the Jewish religious leaders would ask Pilate to have the legs of the crucified criminals broken so that they would die quickly and could be removed and buried before sunset. The victim had to push up on his legs in order to get a breath to breathe on the cross. Break the legs, he could no longer get that breath and would soon suffocate. But when they got to Jesus, Jesus was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. And this is important. John, the disciple and gospel writer, gives us an eyewitness account. He says, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you also may believe his testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled, none of his bones shall be broken." And you're going, so what? But remember, this is Passover. And by law, the Passover lamb, the lamb that was offered as a sacrifice as part of this annual festival, could not have any broken bones. It was not a Passover lamb if it had any broken bones. In like manner, Jesus had no broken bones. That's because he was the Passover lamb. He was the Paschal. He was God's lamb to take away the sin of the world. And by the way, this affects how we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It affects the wording. Most of you are familiar with the wording of the Lord's Supper. We get to that point where we grab the loaf and say, on the night when our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." All right? Does that sound familiar? But what you never hear me say, what I never say is, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Some do. Some do say that. I don't say it. And there are two reasons why I don't say it. One, the oldest copies of the New Testament do not have that wording. Later in history, a copyist added those words, "My body, which is broken for you." That was added, maybe because the person thought it was more poetical or sounded better or something. Not part of the original. So that's one reason why I don't say it when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But the second reason is here in John 19. None of his bones were broken. He was not broken. And that's what made him the ultimate Passover lamb. That's what made his sacrifice. Not a one-time deliverance from slavery in Egypt, but a deliverance of eternal consequence. We are free because he is the Lamb of God. All right, so Jesus was taken down from the tree and he was buried. He was sealed into a tomb that was also guarded. The sentence of death, first earned by our biblical parents and earned daily by our own sin, was carried out against the righteous branch of David. But within 3 days, that changed. Within 3 days, the branch was raised, and Jesus was seen alive. And he is alive. And here, with us now. The powers of sin death and Satan that tore him down themselves got crushed and the branch raised up. And we too can be joined to that branch and be raised up. The curse is removed. And new life is given to us. Joined to Christ by faith, rooted in him, we are like the tree mentioned in Psalm 52, a green olive tree in the house of God, grafted into life of the righteous branch, we will live and enjoy God's presence forever.